I hereby introduce to you Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, 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 welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Michael Veazey. Welcome to the show. Today's episode is sponsored by Future State Media, experts in off-Amazon traffic for Amazon sellers. Future State Media will build you a custom-made website to deliver sales for you on Amazon. Built to grab traffic from search engines and social media, your site can be used as a secret weapon for launching products on Amazon or just to stabilize your Amazon sales. It means you can also build an email list on autopilot. All sites come with the ability to distribute unique coupon codes and with traffic-grabbing content provided. They also include full service from Future State Media. Build an ultra-low-cost, long-lasting search traffic that is 100% owned by you. Go to futurestatemedia.com, where you can download your free guide to Google SEO for Amazon sellers today. Future State Media. They said, build a brand. They meant, build your own traffic. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon sellers. In fact, today's episode is going to be not only for Amazon sellers everywhere, but I think e-commerce sellers generally. And as Amazon gets trickier to deal with as a sole channel on its own, I think Amazon sellers are very quickly becoming more broad-minded about getting outside Amazon to find not just sales, but also traffic. And today we're going to talk to a traffic expert. Rory Stern has been in the business of paid advertising and paid traffic for about 14 years now, and has worked with quite a few e-commerce sellers, specifically on Facebook ads. That's what we're going to talk about today. Okay. So Rory, welcome back to the show, man.
Thank you. It's great to be here. I'm glad we're going to get into some implementation. Let's roll up our sleeves and get into the thick of it.
Tell me a bit about you. You were saying the algorithm's so smart that often you will not do the sort of audience detailed description that you would have done, so or targeting, I suppose. So what are the aspects that you can normally control or decide for an audience?
One of my personal companies, I'm tongue-tied, ad managers. And if you look at the ad manager, which by the way, they do change it. So for those of you who can see it, you'll see the interface. For those of you who are listening just to the audio, I'm going to walk you through everything the very best I can. So watching video, great, but we'll take care of the audio as well. So what you see right now is how Facebook Ads Manager looks today. They are constantly updating it. They are constantly changing it. It is a sore subject with me. It's annoying. I don't know why you have to fiddle with the user interface when there is so much you can do to improve the ad platform delivery, but that's another case for another day. The point being is it will change, but the same features will be there. You may need to poke around. Right now, we're looking at my campaigns. The campaigns are named a certain way. And as I said, if we click on one of the boxes here and we look at the campaign, we are looking at the campaign objective. And I've selected conversions. There is an option for this campaign to be set up at campaign budget optimization, meaning using the CBO, setting the campaign at or the budget at the campaign level. If you're looking at my account, you'll see that 90% of my campaigns do not use CBO. Largely because it wasn't reliable back in the day. Let's jump into an ad set. This one's called Lookalikes. We'll get really nitty gritty in a moment. I want to address Michael's last question, which was, what does the targeting look like? So in here, you'll see that I'm targeting the United States. I'm targeting people between the ages of 30 and 65 plus. I'm targeting both men and women. You have the option of targeting them together or separately. For this particular business, we want to target both men and women. If your business, if your product, if your physical product is bought by women only or men only, then you can pick one. I personally like to allow Facebook's algorithm to do its work and find my customers. So there are a lot of times where I won't put constraints on things. That was Michael's question. What does it mean to not put constraints on things? Let's create a new ad set real quickly. Test ad set. I'm typing this out. And again, I will talk you through all of this. So as we create this, we do have to choose a pixel event. So for you all, let's see if we can find a purchase, right? Because that's what we want is a purchase. Right there, I'll grab purchase.
Can I, just before we go any further, what is a pixel event? Because I've heard of pixels. Obviously, I've used them maybe badly, but what is a pixel event?
Great, great question. Thank you. So it's actually a conversion event. So not only do you want to have a pixel on your website, not only do you want to select conversion campaigns or the conversion objective at the campaign level, but then at the ad set level, you're going to choose a conversion event that you will optimize for. Purchase means that you're optimizing for somebody to buy your product or service. In this case, the purchase pixel is on the page after checkout. This is a great question. I can't believe I would have skipped over this. The pixel has two ways of tracking events: through custom conversions, which are URL based, so you create them yourself. Then there are standard events. A standard event is view page, view content, add to cart, initiate checkout, purchase. And a standard event is something that is already integrated with Facebook, but you have to customize the pixel code on the page after the event occurs. So what do I mean by that? Let's dial this back a step. If I'm driving to a Shopify store, the minute someone hits add to cart, the add to cart button on a product page, you want the pixel for add to cart to fire at the checkout step. For purchase, you want the purchase event to fire after they've completed checkout. So meaning they've ended up on your thank you page. That's really important. The event happens after the desired action. So if we dial this back one step further, if we were just doing lead generation, your lead event is going to be on the thank you page, meaning after they've opt in, the lead event will fire. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you. So basically, it sounds like Facebook has a standard sort of set of obvious things that happen, particularly for conversions. So presumably opt-in, add to cart, purchase, abandon cart, whatever it is. And you've got particular, I suppose it's driven by pages, right? Somebody lands on a certain page, the pixel fires broadly.
Yeah, great question. And now, honestly, they don't have abandoned cart. That's something you would have to create in your audiences.
Okay.
Another, I mean, the reason I'm going back and correcting that is it's another great point that's going to be important to any e-commerce any business owner advertising needs to know that there's no abandoned cart event. You have to create that by setting up an audience in Facebook that basically is, I want to target people who have seen this product page but not checked out. Or they've added to cart but not checked out, you know, completed the purchase, which therein lies, obviously, the abandoned cart. So let's do purchase again.
Okay.
So now I'm scrolling down and I can set the budget because remember, this is an ad set budget campaign. I didn't set it at the campaign level. If you look to the right-hand side of the budget, it tells you audience definition. So we know I'm targeting the US, so my potential reach is 230 million people. We don't want to do that right now. Okay?
Yeah.
Because we want to narrow down our buyers. And one thing that's really important to circle back to again, Rory, do I really want to give Facebook that much trust to go out and, you know, try to narrow the audience down by saying conversions versus just sending traffic? I feel like I'm cutting myself short. Well, again, I answered yes, you want to trust Facebook. But we also want to understand that there are phases at which we trust Facebook. And when you have a brand new account, yes, you can trust them to go out and get you purchases. You can trust them to get you conversions from day one. That is highly contested and hotly debated. And I'm here to tell you that after tons and tons and tons of testing, yes, you can start a brand new a brand new ad account in a brand new industry with a brand new pixel with absolutely no data, and you can get purchases within 24 hours. I promise you that it can happen. The reason I'm saying this is there are some people who will say, no, you need to set up a traffic campaign. You need to drive to add to carts first before purchases, because It's all nonsense. That's an advanced technique that we don't want to get into. The bottom line is you can set up a fresh account. You can go after conversions. You can get purchases and you can be well on your way. And yes, there are ways to improve your results. The reason, again, I'm talking about trusting Facebook in phases. So I mentioned to you that there are times where I won't do any demographic testing or targeting. I'm not going to do that until I have 5,000 purchases. Okay. At five, and this is just a rule. There are always exceptions to rules. But when my pixel has the data for 5,000 purchases, I can then let Facebook go out and target the entire United States population of 230 million people on Facebook because it has an idea of who I want. I mentioned earlier that one of my ad sets was targeting a lookalike audience. A lookalike audience is based off of a custom audience. So what is a custom audience, Rory? A custom audience is an audience that you create based on website activity, aka all website visitors. It could be all add to carts. It could be all purchases. You can upload your customer list if you have customers. You can upload your prospect list if you have prospects. If you have buyers of multiple products, you can isolate by product and upload those as custom audiences, and I would encourage that. And as I said, we want 5,000 events to target Facebook blank with no targeting. You want to create a lookalike audience off of 1,000 data entries or more. So I want 1,000 customers or more. I want 1,000 prospects or more. Can you do it under that? Absolutely. I believe the minimum is 100. But think about statistical analysis. Would you rather have a lookalike audience built off of 100 people or 1,000 people? Which one's going to most likely be more accurate? The one that has more people.
That's true. Although I have to say in some cases, and that would include mine, the Amazing FBA, for example, that you might not have 1,000 customers. Exactly. And then you've got to presumably, you've got to do your best with your 100, I suppose. Yep.
Exactly, right? Like I said, these are targets. This is what we shoot for. But there are some cases where, you know, we've taken 200 customers and said, let's try our best with a lookalike. And we've had success. You have to build towards that. I want to give out benchmarks and then we can talk about things to do along the way. Now, people may be scratching their head, Michael, going, well, wait a minute. You've talked about custom audiences. You mentioned a lookalike audience, but what the heck is a lookalike audience? Great, great thing we need to discuss that we'll do right now. So a lookalike audience takes a known audience and Facebook will analyze that known audience on 9, at least it was 9 when I first learned about lookalikes. It could be more, but 9 data points. And based off of that, those 9 data points, it will go out and find people on Facebook in a certain demographic area, i.e., you know, the United States, i.e., the United Kingdom or Europe. You can target regions. There's all sorts of things you can do, and it will find people that are most like your custom audience. That's why we say the more data you give it, the better match it will be. As of right now, there is the ability to go from 1 to 10% lookalike audiences. A 1% lookalike audience means that it is a 99% chance. Or I'm sorry, not a 99% chance. That is the 99% likelihood that they match your customers. That's why it's called the 1%, the top 1%. You can create a 2%, a 3%, a 4%, a 5% audience. The more percentage points, the bigger the audiences get. Today, or I should say more recently, Facebook has amazingly given us the ability to create 1% audiences, meaning that is the 0 to 1%, the top 1%, the cream of the crop. They now allow us to create 1 to 2%, meaning the next 1%. You can create a 2 to 3%. So there's all sorts of techniques. It's really, really fun when you get to that. But let's dial it back and go, we're just starting out. We're just beginning. What do we do? Let's go ahead and talk about essential oils. It's a product I know near and dear to my heart. So we're going to target people in the United States. We are going to target women 40 years and above. So pick women, 40 to 65 plus. Why 40 to 65 plus? Well, I know that my avatar for this product tends to be an older woman. Yes, there are younger people who do use essential oils, but we have to think, you know, who's more likely to spend money? Who is our ideal customer? In most cases, that 40-year-old woman plus has more, indisposable income, discretionary income to spend. Demographics. No, here we go. Detailed targeting. So here, you can type in essential oil, and up will pop suggestions. Essential oil, 72 million people in that audience. That's really, really broad. If we scroll down, Essential Oil University, 105,000 people. It's a pretty decent-sized audience. The Essential Oil Company, 12,000 people. Now, I don't really want to target that. Why? It's just too small. I want to be, 50,000, 60,000. If I'm just starting out, could I target 12,000 people and get some sales out of it? Absolutely. I'm being a little bit of a spoiled brat because I know there are other audiences out there that are bigger. I know that a 12,000 person audience is only going to bring in a fraction of the customers that I really want. So let's keep scrolling. Essential oil education, 4,000 people, not big enough. So maybe what I do is I combine essential oil education at 4,000. Let's do that. With, what was it, essential oil education, I think? Essential oil company it was, sorry. There is my 12,000. So now Facebook is telling me 62 million. Wait a minute, I thought it was less than 150,000. Well, that's because Facebook has this little checkbox that says detailed targeting expansion. Again, Facebook wants you to give them the trust and control that they know your customers better than you do. And in a lot of cases, they do. However, as a direct response marketer, I want to control the variables. I'm unselecting detailed targeting expansion, and now I'm down to 8,900 people. Very small audience, but we can learn a lot from it.
One quick question about that. This always struck me when I was using this interface. Are we adding together the people that are both into essential oil education and the essential oil company, or is it if they're in either category? Because if you did the former, if you got overlapping Venn diagrams after like 10 of them, you've only got like 5 people left, right? If you're adding everything together, you end up with the entire US population. So how does that work?
Right. Great question. So the default in the detailed targeting is or. So in this case, we are targeting people who like essential oil education or the essential oil company.
Right.
There is a way by choosing narrow audience where you can say, I want people who like the essential oil education interest and the essential oil company. And that brings it down even smaller and tighter. I don't want to do that right now because we've already got really, really small audiences. Let's get out of here for a moment, meaning X out of these interests, because this brings up the issue. There are a couple different issues that are really fun, and this is where it gets exciting. So I showed you two audiences that were smaller than I wanted, and I want to combine them together. Ideally, as a direct response marketer, I want one audience in the ad set, which is going to allow me to test the question, does this audience have my desired customer or not? If you add two interests into an ad set, you're basically saying, does one or the other or both contain my customer? But you don't know who, you don't know which audience they're coming from.
That makes a lot of sense. And can I just ask them, what's the question of you've brought up the question of minimum audience size, and you're implying that 12,000 isn't enough. How would you define that size?
So the many, many years ago, 6 years ago, we went on sort of the guideline. I almost said rule, but it's a guideline that you can spend $10 a day for every 10,000 people in an audience. So a lookalike audience, one of the reasons we want to get to a lookalike audience is the size is 2.3 million. 2.3 million people divided by 10,000, you should be able to spend $2,000 a day. At scale, I want to be spending more money. Again, I say it's a guideline because, well, Rory, if that's a 1% audience and it's a 99% match to my customer, shouldn't I be able to spend more to them? Absolutely. So it's a bit deceiving to say size matters. Go ahead, giggle, laugh if you're immature like I am. it's a bit deceiving that, you know, there isn't really a best audience size. I like I said, I like to have 50,000 or more. 100 to 200,000 makes me super happy. But again, you're testing. So there's no wrong answer. I mean, I would avoid anything under 1,000. I would avoid anything under 2,000. You know, you get into 10,000 plus, you can play around, but it's not going to scale a lot. If we take, for example, what I'm doing right now, I'm targeting an audience that has 3.4 million people. That could be too big. It could be too small. How do we know if it's too big or too small? Well, I chose an essential oil company, one of the top sellers in the United States and around the world, doTERRA Essential Oil, 3.4 million people. What is the likelihood that this audience is going to be interested in an essential oil product? Very, very high. Now, let's do the and, okay? We're going to do the and we're going to do something cool that I've already mentioned twice now. So I've selected doTERRA as my broad interest. I've now clicked on the narrow audience button, and it says in the search box or above the search box, and must also match. So let's type in engaged shoppers. Hover over engaged shoppers. There are 458 million people in that audience. And the description of that audience is people who have clicked on the call to action button, excuse me, shop now in the past week. You think those are buyers? Yes, they're buyers. So we're going to click that. We've now taken our broad audience of 3.4 million people and brought it down to 1.4 million people. Theory suggests that these people are going to be more likely to buy my product. Is there any truth in that? There's only one way to find out. Test it. Okay? That's when I said earlier, you know, you can get really, really, you can get narrow, you can get focus. Now, let's go out to a broader audience. Let's say, for instance, we're going to, you know, Oprah Winfrey, right?
Yeah, of course.
She's a global, all right, global brand.
She is.
All right, Oprah Winfrey. 9.5 million person audience. Oprah Winfrey is known for her former television show, her publishing empire, her book club, her Weight Watchers line of foods, I mean, she is known for so many different things. I'm never going to target Oprah Winfrey at 9.5 million because you don't know who they are. Now, what if I did Oprah Winfrey and we narrow the audience by, let's type in alternative health. Say I have an alternative health offer. Is it health and wellness maybe? Yeah, there it is. We just cut that audience down to 4.4 million people. So it includes, it's Oprah's audience, and they must also be interested in health and wellness, you know, 9.5 to 4.4. Let's get rid of the health and wellness and go, all right, Oprah Winfrey and must be interested in Weight Watchers. These are people who are interested in weight loss. 2.9 million people. Now we're talking, now we're getting more targeted and narrowed down to people who are more likely. Again, I still don't know if I'm going to target Oprah Winfrey because it's so broad. You know, there's just, and a lot of this is learned. This is acquired knowledge through testing. So hopefully that makes sense about, you know, narrowing your audience down, putting demographics in place, psychographics, interest targeting, broad targeting, narrow targeting, lookalike audience, custom audiences. There's so much we can get into, and I don't want people to get overwhelmed. I want people to understand there is simple, precise action you should be taking from the very beginning, and all of the complicated stuff that I go over is really as a demonstration to show how you can get better results. The most important thing you can do is figure out, and again, we talked strategy earlier or previously, you need to know who your customer is. That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
What age are they? What gender are they? What interests them the most? Because that's targeting on Facebook, interests. So what books do they read? What TV shows do they watch? What products do they buy? Let's get outside of essential oils, right? Because I went through you know, a couple brands. Let's talk if you're into, let's say you have a fashion brand. Well, we could target Coach, Louis Vuitton, Dooney and Burke. I'm trying to think of all Fendi. Like, those are higher end brands. Those are luxury brands. People who like them, we would think, I mean, number one, we know they're interested in fashion. We know that they're interested in high end fashion. Whether they can actually afford that or not is another topic, but it's a difference between targeting, you know, those higher end brands versus a broader interest of, I want to target women who like handbags.
Yeah. So just to sort of bring this to keep it, as you say, there's a lot that could go on. And thank you for that. It's very, very educational indeed. I'm certainly learning loads. It sounds like there are many, many options with this. Is it your view that the best starting point is your own custom audience? Or is that too simple?
Well, yes and no.
Okay.
So it's a great question. I mean, the answer is yes. If you have a custom audience, it's great to target your custom audience. Your custom audience is, if you've already built a Facebook page, you know, you can target your Facebook followers. There's a setting to target friends of your Facebook followers. You can target your website traffic. You can target previous customers. You can do all of those things, and I highly recommend it. I'm a bit of a snob when I go after cold traffic, or when I set up paid advertising. I want to tap into cold traffic, meaning I want to know that I can go out and acquire brand new customers. That may seem like I'm cutting off my nose to spite my face, because the low hanging fruit is your current audience. Yes, you should do that. Everything I've gone over is about cold traffic, which I just have a bias towards. I'd rather bring in new customers.
Yeah, I'll take your point. I mean, there is a danger with a lot of things. For example, in my website, I know that a lot of the percentage of the visitors is repeat visitors. So I'm basically just keeping the same people engaged, which to a point is good, but it's not actually going to grow my business in the sense that I'm not reaching new people, not expanding the awareness of my brand, or even probably the engagement of the brand. If somebody's already reading my blog and listening to the podcast, they're probably as engaged as they're going to be unless they actively get in touch and, you know, and purchase a product from me. So I take your point, really. So I suppose it really comes back to the strategic question of what your objective is. So what, just to sort of try and go back to that question then, because it seems implied by what you're saying about audience targeting, how would you classify the different types of audience targeting, and how does that relate to the sort of strategic level of using paid advertising as a whole?
Okay. So there's different types of audience targeting. I've mentioned cold traffic. So that's interest targeting. I've mentioned lookalikes. That's lookalike targeting. There's targeting custom audiences, retargeting. Let's talk about interest targeting within that. So, detailed targeting. I call it interest targeting, but it's called detailed targeting. Within detailed targeting, there are several different ways to target. Interest-based is the most popular, in my opinion, or at least it's our default. So you're basically going after, you're targeting people who are interested in a certain thing. Interested in Amazon FBA. Interested in thriller books, interested in Michael Jackson, interested in Oprah Winfrey. You can also go after certain behaviors. Let's look at behaviors. And the great thing is that with the detailed targeting, there is a button or a clickable browse word that shows you. So we can target demographics, education, financial, life events, meaning, you know, anniversaries, birthdays, relationships, new jobs. There's financial, your income levels is good, is potentially good. I almost said good. It's potentially good. Life events. We mentioned briefly, parents, you know, what level parent are they? The newborn, expecting, toddler, teenager, college age student, relationship status, what their work is, who is their employer, what industry are they in, what job title. Typically, those are smaller audiences. You have to understand that a demographic that I've just rattled off is what is voluntarily added to Facebook. So when you set up your Facebook profile, if you add a specific job, Facebook tracks that. So those audiences tend to be very, 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 very small. Yes, they can be really lucrative, But again, my strategy for cold traffic tends to be, how do we go out into a larger pond and fish as best as we can, rather than go in and find a very, very narrow pond and exhaust it and then end up without being able to fish anymore because we've depleted it. So smart strategy, you try them all, but typically we always recommend start with interests. If we talk about behaviors, there's anniversary, customer classification by country, people who prefer high value goods in Argentina, people who prefer mid and high value goods in Argentina.
So is that behavioral based in terms of their behavior on Facebook then? That's how they know that they prefer high value goods. So how do they know that?
That I don't have a good answer for.
Yeah, fair enough. So no, tell me, where's the behavioral targeting then? Because I'm seeing this stuff around income, parental status, etc. I'm seeing the interest targeting, but is the behavior part of interest targeting, or how does that work?
Well, it's part of detailed targeting. So when you look at detailed targeting, it says in the box, at least the one I'm looking at, add demographics, comma, interests or behaviors. So we could type in high income, and let's see if it brings it up. It's okay, here we go. Household income, top 25% to 50% of zip codes in the US, top 10%. If you don't want to search for it, or you don't know how to search for it, there is the option to hit browse. When you click on browse, it shows you a drop of various drop-down menus with nested drop-downs.
Can we have a look at some of the behaviors ones then? Because that interests me as a different thing. So,
yep.
So anniversary counts as a behavior.
It does. That's you can target people.
Entry. I mean, surely, yeah. I mean, you may or may not do something about it, but that's interesting. I mean, for example, my parents' wedding anniversary was 2 days ago, and I'm guiltily thinking I didn't send them a card. So that's an example of the difference between a diary event and a behavior. Behavior sounds like it means something in a particular sort of Facebook meaning of that word rather than normal meaning, right?
Yeah. So here's another behavior, politics in the U.S., likely engagement with U.S. political content. And then, there's three of them, conservative, liberal, or moderate, which, we've targeted all of those, but never with that way. We use interest targeting. Let's see, travel. So commuters, frequent travelers, frequent international travels, return from travels 1 week ago. How does Facebook determine that? Well, I mean, people post all the time.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. I'd imagine with travel, that's probably one of the more reliable bits of data, because people always spend their lives on Facebook telling you where they've just been. So interesting. Is interesting.
So there's a lot you can do there. If we skip everything else, Facebook does a good job with their automatic settings. So if I didn't go over something, just trust that you can do the automatic. Now let's go down to the ad level. You create an ad. We'll do test ad. The ad is where you actually come up with the creative. So the image, the video, the ad copy. The things that you're going to need, remember we talked about the Facebook page. You can't run an ad without a Facebook page. Your Facebook page represents your brand. In this case, let's just say we're going to run a test, an ad for my personal brand, Rory F. Stern. So we choose that Facebook page. Instagram account. You want to connect your Instagram account because Facebook will target Instagram. Instagram has evolved maturely as a network and is great for advertising. Think about what people go to Instagram for. It's a visual panacea, if you will. People just constantly looking at visuals, 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 visuals. So you can create great ads of your products that people will buy. There are lots of different settings for single image or video, a carousel ad, which is multiple images, a group collection, very smart to know about for e-commerce brands. But again, we're going to start with single image. You're going to choose an image of your product, or you're going to choose an image of something related to your product. So if it's an essential oil, I'm probably going to show my essential oil product. If I'm selling an essential oil related to calming the body down, promoting calm, right? Then I might show the lavender fields. I might show a woman doing yoga. Might show a picture of a woman doing yoga, meditation, something like that. The important things to know about an ad, you've got a headline. The headline is what appears underneath your video or your image. The description will appear underneath your headline. I use a very standard description on almost every single one of my ads that basically says, click here to dot, dot, dot. And the dot, 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 you fill in with what you want someone to do. You give them a call to action. You tell them what you want. My headlines, I like to tell people the best way to learn how to write ads is to go to news outlets. Not because I think the news is great and reliable and trustworthy, but because Facebook ads are built off of how the media and the news outlets and publishers post articles. So if you go to Time Magazine, Newsweek, Daily News, I think is a UK one, or is it Daily News UK? I forget what it is. But the point is, like, you'll see that the headline is a teaser. It tells people this is what you're getting. So for instance, if I'm selling an essential oil to a cold audience, I might say, how to have a more restful night's sleep. That might be cold traffic. Introduce them to product. Retargeting ad might say, save 50% off of our lavender blend when you purchase today. Just hit them right between the eyes. Tell them what you want them to know. The copy that goes above the image is called the primary text. For me, that is extra information you can share with somebody. You want to remember that this is a social media platform you're advertising on, so it should be conversational. It should be written like as if you're sharing something you found that you really like. Oh, wow, I just found this great new product that helps me sleep better at night. Click below to learn more. You know, things like that. You can take a scientific angle. Now, there's so many different things you can do, and we could have a five-hour class on how to write proper copy. I want to give you the basics. The final thing that you really absolutely need that Facebook will tell you, it'll give you a big, bright warning, a link is required to run this ad. You can't run this ad without directing them to a link. The link is where you want to send your website traffic.
Yeah, makes sense to me. Well, there's so much that goes on with this stuff. It's obviously a massive area. There's a reason why people run courses and indeed hire experts like yourselves to do it. In some ways, I feel like I've learned a hell of a lot. One of the other things I feel like I've learned is I'm beginning to understand why people hire you guys. So if people want to have a conversation with you, Rory, what's the best way to reach you? And are you able to offer a sort of bit of a consultation to people, a sort of halfway house between working with them full time and versus just leaving them on their own?
Yeah, so we definitely have a way to do that. You can go to helpwithads.com. Helpwithads.com will, you know, take you to a contact form or some other goodies that we may have there for your audience, you know, free of charge, maybe opt-in. We constantly update that to provide some great information to people. You know, yes, the most of the work we do is running ads for people, but we do offer consulting and coaching and various other things. So we try to help businesses where they're at.
And what's the easiest way if somebody's considering consulting or even hiring you guys, what's the easiest way to get in touch with you?
Helpwithads.com.
Helpwithads.com. Fantastic. Well, we'll leave that as the call to action. As you say, everything should have a call to action at the end of it. Rory, it's been very, very eye-opening. I mean, what's interesting is the blend of there's complexity, but actually the simple advice. I mean, for example, the campaign types clarification alone is worth listening for just to know that the conversion objective is really what you should be thinking about. And it makes sense, but also the thing is, not only does it make logical sense, but after $20 million ad spend or whatever you guys have spent, it's proven, which is really going to help us save wasting a lot of time. And I've had a play with various Facebook ads. You've inspired me to get back in there and do it in a more structured way, more intelligent way. So that's great information. Thank you so much. Any final thoughts that you want to leave our audience with?
Yeah. Just guys, don't get overwhelmed. Just go in one step at a time. Play around, get comfortable, get familiar. Remember, your initial goal should not be to make a sale, but to get data. To get data to figure out, do I have the right people? Do I have people coming to my website? What's it costing me? Are they adding to cart? Are they buying? Are they signing up as a lead? These are all steps along the way. There is feedback at every single point if you know what to look at. I encourage you to ask questions of leaders in the advertising world. To that point, be very, very careful what Facebook groups you go into and who you ask, because there are a lot of people out there who, there's no shortage of people who will jump in, flex their muscles, try to impress you, and share bad information. So it can be very cutthroat. It can be dog eat dog world. Excuse me. Just be very, very careful. There are great people out there that you can ask for help. And obviously, you know, if there's anything I can do for anyone listening in this audience, Michael, they can reach out to us. They can, you know, I guess contact you and say, hey, can you get Rory to create this? Can we get a guide on this? You know, I just want to really help people build their businesses, grow, scale, reach more people, make an impact on the world, and have great success. So that's what I can leave you with.
That's great, Rory. Thank you so much for that. That's very good words. And I guess what you just said about the quality of information and also the poor quality of information out there is just as true of Facebook ads for Amazon sellers. And I guess in the end, you've got to look at what somebody's achieved, how long they've been in business, longevity helps. I mean, that's one thing I was reading the other day as an amazing book by Nicholas Nassim Taleb, who's a very skeptical person. He says, look, time is a very good way of filtering out things. So the fact that you've been in this business for 14 years and made a business, a living from that, says a lot. And then $20 million ad spend, again, yes, maybe it's a revenue that a sort of vanity metric in some ways. But again, it tells me that you've been around, that you've spent a lot of money, that you've got statistically valid insights. So I think those things that in themselves should tell people that they could trust you, which is why we got you on the show. So thank you so much for coming on, Roy. It's been very, very insightful. And we'll get back on it at some point and pick your brains about the details Great. Of these things as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me again. It's been a real pleasure.
Today's episode is sponsored by Future State Media, experts in off-Amazon traffic for Amazon sellers. Future State Media will build you a custom-made website to deliver sales for you on Amazon. Built to grab traffic from search engines and social media, your site can be used as a secret weapon for launching products on Amazon or just to stabilize your Amazon sales. It means you can also build an email list on autopilot. Go to futurestatemedia.com where you can download your free guide to Google SEO for Amazon sellers today.